I'm here with Laura Yaros here at the National Campus Community Radio Conference in Halifax. And Laura is a longtime programmer with Radio Centreville in Montreal. You do a program on Saturday mornings called Matrix. Can you tell us about that program?
Sure. Matrix got started in, believe it or not, in the summer of 1980, and I joined on with it in October of 1981. And basically, it's a 60-minute weekly news magazine, or just magazine-type show, not only news. And it's basically what we call by, for, and about women from a feminist and progressive perspective. So that's sort of the main mission, I guess.
Okay. So it also says in your bio here that you've been a longtime activist in Montreal for nearly 40 years now. I guess what brought you from doing activism into the community radio world?
Well, I think part of it was that after a few years of activism and kind of being involved in like community groups and women's groups and lesbian groups and all kinds of stuff, and I remember there was a time when, you know, I was never home practically, like every night practically I was running to a meeting, and after a while I just felt like we're having all these meetings all the time, but we're not really doing anything. We're just having meetings and meetings and meetings. And there was a lot of infighting going on in different groups. And I just got really tired of all that and really burnt out and just fed up. And I just felt like there was nothing constructive happening. And I just kind of fell into radio by accident because somebody told us that there was this meeting happening and there were these three women doing this radio show and they were getting burned out and they wanted some help. And when I got to this meeting, it was just, everybody was brainstorming and everybody was, you know, had all these ideas and everybody was signing up for dates. And we were actually doing something concrete and not just sitting there and arguing about theory. We were actually doing something. And I realized that I could use radio for activism, that I didn't have to stop being an activist. I could be an activist, but do it in a way that was more concrete, and that I could reach a lot of people, and that I could even have fun. And that was amazing.
Yeah. I guess in your experience, you know, you started doing radio in the 80s. Looking at radio today, and of course this radio gathering here, what do you feel are, you know, some of the biggest changes, facing our sector of community radio?
Well, certainly in terms of the technical stuff, that's sort of the big one for me, because when we started out, you know, in the early 80s, I mean, you didn't have the technology that you have today. I mean, I think for some, I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure it's probably hard for you to conceive of a world where there were no cell phones, no fax machines, no PCs, no Audacity software, no digital recorders. Like, you know, we didn't have any of that, you know. And so it was a lot harder physically just to do things like editing or to you know, you had to lug around this big jalopy of a machine with the piano keys, you know, and a mic, and, you know, to go and do your interviews and this kind of thing. And, you know, so just the fact that now we have all this technology that's really easy to use. It's quite, you know, most of it's, you have to figure it out a little bit, but it's quite user-friendly. You don't need an engineering degree to learn how to use it. And it's so much faster for editing, and things are smaller, so you don't have to haul around so much stuff. And also just that you can do things like record by phone so much more easily, or do things remotely so much more easily, and you could email stuff. And so there's just, you know, those things are huge, and I think it makes it more accessible for more people, and also that you can reach more people more easily. Because, you know, if I wanted to interview somebody in California, you know, back in, I don't know, even like 1985 or something, so then we started having PCs, but, you know, if you want to call California, you're paying like, I don't know, 25 cents a minute or something, so who the hell could afford that, you know? And nowadays, you know, There's this lesbian author I wanted to interview. She was coming out with a new series of books, and I've always loved her writing. Her name is Linda K. Silva. Check her out, folks. And, you know, so I could just call her and say, okay, I could pay 99 cents, and I can talk to her for like an hour and 20 minutes, and I can record it in the comfort and privacy of my own home on my software, on my computer, and then I could edit it at my leisure, and then, you know, I can put it on the air whenever I want, And, you know, I can edit it, I can do whatever, I can have a shorter version, a longer version, whatever I want. And then she can go in California and she can, like, catch the podcast and hear what I've done. Now, I mean, you couldn't do that back in those days.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really amazing what you can do now. And so that is a really positive thing. And I think that's great. I guess in terms of, you know, maybe more like, I don't know what you want to call it, governance or funding and this kind of issues, I think that's getting pretty pretty difficult and crucial these days, especially now with the horrible election results that we've had. And I think a lot of stations are struggling. And, you know, and the thing is, it's a constant struggle because the granting agencies, when you're so dependent on the granting agencies, I mean, this was always the case, but I think it's getting worse and worse because, you know, especially now with the mentality of the conservative government and all that, you're always rushing and struggling to try and fit into whatever criteria that they want you to fit into in order for them to fund you. And they're always changing the rules on you, and they're always, you know, making it more and more difficult, jerking you around. And it really saps a lot of the energy from doing the work. And I think that's probably part of their plan, frankly, if you want me to be really honest about it. I don't know. I don't want to be considered a crackpot and conspiracy theorist and whatever, but I think that's true, that they really, they want to kind of keep you running on this treadmill all the time so that you won't actually do the work that you really want to do, which is exposing a lot of their lies and a lot of the stuff that's going on. They want you to keep running for this money. Yeah. You know, I remember, I don't even know who said it, but I remember hearing something once a long, long time ago. If you want to defeat like a movement or a group, don't like fight against it and you know, this kind of thing. Don't arrest the people and, you know, whatever it is. Just throw a little money at it or just hire one of them and you're good. Mm. You know? So, and I think that certainly hasn't improved over the years, I think. So that's something that's, and the thing is, you know, with the economy how it is today, you know, it's more and more difficult and people can't survive. And I think that's true because I think there's less and less people, I've noticed at our radio station at least, there's less and less people that are available to make like a long-term commitment to do programming on a you know, like a weekly basis or whatever, because I think a lot of them, they think they gotta work.
Yeah.
You know?
Last question I had to ask is, you were participating in the Queer Caucus here the other day. You know, given the fact that oftentimes queer voices are so marginalized in the mainstream media, what for you is the importance of community radio in terms of amplifying voices of queer people and queer communities?
Well, I think we can boil it down to one word. It's crucial. I mean, clearly, where else are you going to get these type of voices? I mean, even on CBC, you don't really get that kind of open queer or lesbian or gay or bi or whatever you want to call it, or however you want to define yourself. You don't get that even on CBC, let alone any of the other commercial stations. Forget it, right? So that's the beauty of community radio, is that it's our one last outlet, or our one last option to be able to voice our concerns as LGBT people, for sure. I mean, that's something I've always done. I've always been open right from the start, even back in 1981, and continuing on. And, you know, I'd like to see more openly gay, lesbian, bi, whatever, you know, queer people be able to do that and just have more programming like that, because, you know, one person can't represent everything, you know. So I think it's important that we have a range of people in these communities that can do programming openly as the people that they are. And community radio seems to be the best place for that.
Again, I've been speaking with Laura Yaros, who's with Radio Centreville here at the National Campus Community Radio Conference in Halifax. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you very much.